the Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Do you know what, Niccolo? I'm annoyed. Oh, I'm annoyed. Do you know why I'm annoyed, though?
No, I don't know.
Before we get into stocks, we do this to wait for people to come up because the notification comes up and then they join about a couple of minutes later.
I've got a Bitcoin chart up, actually.
Get the chart up, yes.
But before I've got a Bitcoin chart up.
I just want to mention the football last night, right? I understand players get paid so much money. And I understand there's market demand, you know, if one club didn't pay it, another club would. So, and it gives a lot of pleasure to a lot of people around. But I just think these players are paid, and I said last night, they could pretty much afford a decent house, mortgage-free every month. That's how much they get paid. They could buy a house every month, pretty much. Some of them a week, you know. And I just look at the level of skill they have, and it's completely unrelated to the pay they get paid. And I think there's no way they're worth. I mean, I saw a couple of England. I'm not an expert on football, but they get running up towards the goal, then passing backwards. They go, have a shot. Have a shot. The more shots you attempt, the more likely you are to score. that's basic maths. That's
nothing to do with it. Why this thing that they really didn't want to win?
No, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. They didn't want. No, they didn't want.
That's got to be the biggest bollocks
ever. I know
ever.
It is absolute rubbish. They didn't want to lose. No team wants to lose. And in fact, if you're going to take the losing attitude, you know, why even enter the World Championships in the World Cup in the first place? You know, you've got to beat good teams, full stop. And the first challenge England had against a half-decent team, they lost. People say, oh, it's the B-side. Yeah, it was Belgium's B-side. Their B-side's better than our B-side. But I'm thinking, so if it was the B-side, and it didn't really matter, try. I mean, they did try, because they were disappointed. They did. They draw. And I don't think the attempt at the one guy on goal, it was dreadful. And I just said, for that kind of money, listen, I'd expect people to move the ball without touching it. That's how magical I expect them to be for that kind of money. Turns out, a bit better than average, looks like. You know, nothing special. I just don't understand the amount of money they get paid compared to their ability. It's completely disjointed in my opinion. And that's what I hate about it. And you see him rolling around going for penalties. That's why, you know, I don't watch football very often. But when I do, you know, I just get annoyed by it. Just get annoyed. I'm very annoyed, Nicola.
I know. It was the same in our house.
I know. So. I don't see the obsession
with it. The
thing
is, you think that a lot of that has come from the TV rights? They're overpaying. And so now, like, it's impossible to watch a decent football game on free TV because they're all on these paid-for stations where they charge people up the wazoo. I mean, it's just one big, massive bubble.
Yeah, it is. It's just ridiculous. When you think there are people in this country, you know, working their backsides off, you know, stacking shelves or you know, or doing normal jobs, and they get paid, you know, they're on subsistence level. They're literally having, you know, scraping by to pay for the weekly food and heating and all that stuff. And they are, and let me tell you, they are probably, you know, good at their jobs, but they don't get paid anywhere near where they should be paid. But these guys are completely overpaid for what they do, kicking a ball. They're just kicking a ball. And most of the time, it's not very good at kicking the ball. You know, some of the goals they attempted were rubbish. Most of them didn't attempt a goal. They were rubbish. Rubbish. Absolutely. England are an average side. Colombia will probably beat them. In fact, I'm going to put a bet on Colombia. And if England lose, then, you know, I'll be happy anyway. Because I've won the bet. So there we are. That's called hedging. Now, bring it back to market mechanics. Hedging. You know, put a bet on Colombia, and if England lose, then you won't get upset because you've won a bit of coin. Okay. talking about coin.
So here we are.
Bitcoin
it's
is not good.
Month end.
Is it?
Listen, it's month end. It's quarter end, and it's first half of the year end, and we quite often see some funky stuff in the markets. People take profit. Market going the opposite direction to the directions that they've been going all month or quarter, and it's particularly with a big US holiday this weekend. You know, the US will basically shut down until next Thursday.
Okay,
I think.
All right.
So it's the big July 4th holiday on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, July the 4th.
So if you were working at a fund, you would take risk off and have 5 days off. I would. So we could see some thin and crispy stuff between now and then. But
I just think, I'm just going to look at the Bitcoin. Oh, do you know what though? That's looking quite good. It'll take a little bit. what happens is it'll go along a flat line, then you'll have a cull where it'll drop and scare people out of the market, shake, a big last final shake. And then I think after the shake, it's rattle and roll. You know what I'm saying?
I think what's quite interesting about Bitcoin is last night's close in US dollar, not in euro, in US dollar was close. It was a close below the February low at 59.20. And so when we go and look at, say, an hourly chart today and we see where was the resistance, it was that low 59.20. We tried for 3 hours to get above it and now we're headed lower. So I think we're headed lower in Bitcoin. I've got 55,400 for a bounce level. And then I'm a massive buyer at 4,300. Mm-hmm. Massive buyer.
Yeah.
Good, so good. I'm afraid still lower. Now, weekends though, and you know, this, bear in mind, this has been going down all month, and now we've got futures trading in Bitcoin. So in the States later on today, if we see profit taking and we recover this 59.20, then we could see a bit of a break higher because false breakdowns can produce some moves. But for now, it's looking pretty gloomy.
Yeah, okay. Their performance was ordinary. Their pay is extraordinary. That's what I'm thinking. It's a disjoint. Anyway, let's go on to some. Let's go on. That's the English gal. If you've just
You're
tuned
still
in,
ranting.
Yeah. If you've just tuned in, you've missed my rant on the English football team and just generally the overpaid nature of those divas that roll around for a penalty. That's cheating. I just think Neymar, right, one of the highest paid in the world, he just always plays for the penalty. That is cheating. You're cheating. You should be sent off. And also, just as an example to younger kids who think they should be doing that, because they see these guys do this and they think, oh, that's the way it's played. That's how it's done. That's acceptable. The world's richest guy is doing it. That is acceptable. It's not. It shouldn't be acceptable in anyone's eyes. Send them off. Anyway, okay, these are some of the RNSs that were most liked this week or in the last 24 hours. First and foremost is Echo Energy. Echo, ticker.
Echo. Doesn't this chart look lovely? Okay, I'm going to start with the weekly chart of Echo Energy and we're going to zoom in down here. Look at this lovely wedge and look how we've been held down by the weekly 200 moving average. Last week we closed above it and now we've seen some follow through and a turn higher. And all of those cluster highs, the April and May highs, we're breaking above today. I think that this looks awesome. So the way you measure for a wedge breakout like this, we're going to connect the highs from the 2017 May highs through the December highs, and that's what we're breaking out above today. And if we measure the widest point of this triangle or wedge consolidation, project it from the breakout point, that gives us an upside target of 35, which is huge because in Echo Energy we're at what, 15, 16? So 35 is our upside target of this wedge breakout on the weekly in Echo Energy. So how are we going to get in the short term? Well, first of all, we really do need to stay strong today and hold above it and close as a breakout here. And then we should see those highs from April, May around 15.9 be support for continuation higher. We're a little bit overbought on the RSI. In Echo Energy. So it might be that we do some consolidation and you'll get a better entry. But definitely this is one to buy on dips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, yes, you're right, Lee. Stop swearing, Nicola. You did say a swear word at the top. This is marked as a family-friendly podcast on iTunes.
And, okay.
If they hear that you're B-word, you've got a filthy mouth, you know? Absolutely filthy. And your mind is the same. Right, Fever Tree. One of the most liked RNSs, I think. It's up there anyway. So this has been one of the stock market darlings of the last few years. It does tonic water, which is, you know, amazing, isn't it?
Delicious.
Is it delicious? It's tonic water, isn't it?
I don't know if I'm a sucker for it. I think if you like a really good gin and tonic, theirs is kind of it. So that's where it is. And I really do actually like their other mixers too.
Do you like gin and
tonic?
My wife has been getting into gin recently, and then she realised she only likes flavoured gin. So it's a bit of a, you know, so I don't know.
I tried some rhubarb gin, and honestly, it was like cough mixture.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
They opened in, 2014 at £1.70, right?
Yeah.
And now they are, £33. That's not bad, is it? That's not a bad upside.
No. So the reason I was asked to look at this one, actually, somebody said, is it nearly over? Should I be taking profit? Is it a good short yet? And I have to say, I don't think it is. And a couple of reasons.
That trend is strong.
The trend is strong. One of the reasons why we might see a nasty pullback is we're a long way back from the daily 20 moving average. We could come back all the way to 3254 and still be in a strong uptrend. So 3254 is really good support. If we break back below that, I would say, okay, we are headed in, we're into a bigger correction, and then we could look back to maybe around 3000. For now, though, everything I measure lines up at 3600. So if you're, and this to me looks like a little daily bull flag. So if you're looking for where to take profit, 3,600 is where you should be looking. And a break of this little 4 hour, you can see it on the hourly, bull flag to the upside. We've got some hidden bullish divergence in this. I think this one's going higher. So, looks okay. Good.
All right, lovely stuff. Next is Ian Condesi. Hopefully you'll be on the podcast very soon. Talk about what are they? Are they just financials out today? Listen, financials. Obviously, you have to produce them. They are part of the process, regulatory process. You have to produce financials. I think 6 months. Yeah, every 6 months. And so it's not a big deal for pre-revenue companies, but they do use it as an update kind of thing to say what's happened in the last year. But of course, it's not a huge deal. But what do you reckon, annual financial report, NCCL, Nicola?
Yeah, the curse, this one. I was starting with the weekly chart in this one as well, because there's an 8.9 pivot level all the way back from 2013. And it was also the high in 2014. That we keep getting stuck at, and for 3 weeks we were stuck at it, and now we've reversed. We're coming back lower to see if we can entice buyers at lower prices. I think that this is still a pullback in an uptrend for now, and if I draw a trend line all the way back to the May 2017 low, May, I couldn't find the month, May 2017 low, then it lines up exactly with this 200-day moving average. And not only that, but if we go there, what we'll make is an equal ABC correction. So we want to see an ABC measured move back towards around 5.5 and 5 in that zone. And then I think if we can hold support in that region, then we'll have a screaming buy setup. A really nice buy setup. So between 5 and 5.5. Until then, and I know that's a bit ugly because we're at 6.3, we have to be a bit patient. That's where we're at, you know? Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Marvellous, Nicola. Well, and then
one part of good news.
No, you paused.
No, I haven't paused. Yes. Take a look at the RSI in this one. If we look at where the April low was, and that April low was 34 on the RSI, we're down already at 28 below that. And we're nowhere near that price. That's down at 4.6. So that's hidden bullish divergence in NCCL. So the oscillator's headed much lower and is going to bottom out before we make a new low. So that is bullish divergence, hidden bullish divergence, it's called. And so that's a sign that we shouldn't make a new low, that we should find some support and carry on higher from there.
Hidden bullish divergence.
Yeah, it's a real thing. You can Google it.
Why is it being... Who's hiding it?
You know.
Well, why should they hide it? Stop hiding it, everyone. It's hard enough for me.
Because if everybody buys and sells at the same price, there's no market, is there?
Yeah, but it's hard enough as it is, investing and trading. Don't hide it.
It is hard,
for heaven's
isn't
sake.
It?
Yeah. Especially if you've been long Bitcoin for the last couple of months. Yeah. All right. Sound Energy. S-O-U... Nicola Dew. What is the news on sound? Let me just quickly look. Eastern Morocco, new basin model. Oh, they've gone into making basins now. That's good. That's joke. Nicola, Nick, go for it.
You're hilarious, aren't you?
Yes, thank you.
When I look at the daily on this one, the moving averages are completely flat, you know, and you kind of think, what's going on here? Like, why aren't we going anywhere? When I look at the weekly, it's much more inspiring. We're bouncing off the lows on the RSI and turning up higher. You know, we went all the way down to 20 something, and we're sitting on the weekly 200 moving average. So that's really good support around here. I'm looking for this to hold and continue higher, but it's taking its time and it's just going sideways. So when we draw this on the daily, you can see completely flat moving averages for the last 7-8 days. Every day the high and low has encompassed the daily 20 and 50 moving averages. They are completely flat. So we need to see a breakout of this range, a move higher back to the daily 200 moving average at 47.50. Above that is a big breakout. So 47.50, you can buy a little in this one, anticipating a bounce, but above 47.50, I would load up. And then we should see new highs from here. Yeah, like really? Yeah, no, we should. Like at least 50% of the drop that we've made from 100, and 50% of that drop is going to take us, let me see quickly, that's going to take us to 68.
Okay.
And if we fill that gap that we made last summer, then a little bit higher at 73. 68 is a good level because you can see all those lows from 2016, 2017. But
fill that gap. Right, that's the last one, is Zananga. Zananga iron. Yeah, we got Zananga iron. Ticker there is Zayok. Zayok Zananga. What do you reckon?
Now, this is another one that's been going sideways forever, really, since the start of April. Very, very narrow range, tight wedge, flat moving averages, looking for a breakout. Now, sometimes, if you really, what's really bullish, what's more bullish than breaking out to the upside is a false break lower first that tricks everybody the wrong way.
Yeah, why does that happen? Really, I've noticed that quite a bit. That does happen a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
It does happen.
And why does it happen? Is it market manipulation in any way? It's almost like people see that obvious support line.
No, but if everybody sees the support and the lows and says, oh, let's buy it for a breakout, and then there's no one left to buy. And so they need to shake those people out.
It just shows what a farce it all is. What a big farce it all is. Doesn't it?
I know.
In fact, do you know what? What it does do, Nick, I do apologise for this, but what it does do is tell you that fundamental research is key. It's always good to have a look at the chart. Always look at the chart. Always, always, always. But fundamental research, be confident in your fundamental research, and then if it dips lower, doesn't matter. In fact, you know what? It's cheaper. It's like a sale-on in your favourite share. So go for it. Anyway, go for it, Nick.
So the good news is that we're at the bottom of the range and you've got a little bit of a bargain here around 10.10. But the bad news is we're underneath that 200-day. We haven't been underneath the 200-day this year. So I think back above it, back above 11.6 would be positive. Back above 12.10, load up the truck. That is then a confirmed false breakdown. And we'd be looking back to the top of the range for a breakout from there.
Okay. What if you haven't got a truck? You just buy one just in case.
Now, if we don't do any of those things, so if we stay...
You didn't answer my question there.
What if you haven't got a truck? Borrow and steal the money.
Oh, Nicola, you can't say that.
This is not investment advice.
Swearing, advising people steal. What's next?
Okay.
You've got a nice voice, right? You're very, but quite plummy, very nice sounding, nice timbre to it. And yet you're just dirty-minded, you swear, your thoughts are highly representable. And
you were already long Zananga iron and you have been shaken out on this move lower, which I don't blame you, then watch for a rally back to the 200-day moving average. And watch for a rally back to, let's get the price, it's 11.65. Because if we can't get back above there, and if we fail and roll over there, that will be your exit. At the moment, I think from these range lows, there's a really good chance that we bounce back there. The RSI has become oversold already. But if we fail to recover that 200-day moving average at 11.6, sell some there and then wait for a better buy setup. Don't like ride it all the way down, because I know I'm not allowed to say F words, but I would say that the next support is not before 8.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Nicola. I think we've had enough of you. We can't trust you live on a broadcast here. So thanks very much for that. And by the way, if you want to see the video, you can see the video at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.